100th surah in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Adiyat. As far as the Shanul Nuzul is concerned, I mean, this is a very good example to show that the Shanul Nuzul are all sort of letter editions or imagination of Mufassir. There are different hadith which point to different sort of Shanul Nuzul for this surah. And all of them, as you can see, I mean, if somebody knows the meaning, and when you have done the tafsir, you can give a class, an exercise, and say, find out the Shanul Nuzul of this thing, and then come up with what the Mufassir has come up. And this is the case with all Shanul Nuzul. I doubt whether any of the Shanul Nuzuls are exact, or exact in the sense that they record why the surah, or when the surah was revealed. Anyway, the things related is that because of the first few ayahs, which where Allah vows with, or swears by the way the horses move in battle and all these things, I mean, all of them, or two of the Shanul Nuzuls have come up, that this is regarding two of the battles, or minor battles, not major ones, though some of the hadiths say that this is regarding Battle of Badr. The others, from most of the Shia sort of hadiths, point to the battle, what is known as the Battle of Salasil. Salasil is chains. They say that the prisoners were tied so tightly with the ropes that that's how, as if they were in chains. So that's why it's known as Salasil. It says that the Prophet sent various people to fight a group of Kuffar, but they came back, and then finally Imam Ali was sent, and he attacked them in the morning, I mean ambushed them in the morning, and captured a lot of prisoners who were then tied tightly, and this surah was revealed. The other group of hadith say that the Prophet had sent a group of people, group of Muslims, to fight some kuffars in a distant land, and he had heard nothing from them, and the munafiqs had started sort of circulating the news or propagating that they are dead and they have lost and they are finished. When this ayah was this surah was revealed, and the Prophet came to know that no, they are not dead, but they have been victorious, and a lot of prisoners and loot have been collected as well. The other people, I mean, Mufassir have gone totally off the tangent. I mean, where do you have lots of animals running around? If one is war, what else can you think of? Especially in the olden days, where hundreds of some sort, either camel or horses, would be running around. It's Hajj. So they have said that this is nothing to do with war, and this is all to do with times. The Hajj, and instead of horses, they have substituted camels running, and all the sort of first ayahs pointing to camels rather than horses. Now Tabatabai says it doesn't fit camels, and it's nothing to do with camels, not sort of all the way camels run is not similar to what this ayah sort of ayahs bring out, and it has to do with war and the horses when, or the mujahids, or when they go to fight on their horses. Anyway, we look at it and then you can decide. Look at the words. You just translate. And you can decide what, whether it's war or Hajj or whatever, or fit something else. The ayahs do not say it's war or Hajj or something, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, or it's cursed by these sort of things, which does sort of show that it is some sort of animals running. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal adiyati dhabha. Adiya, the word comes from adv. Adv is to run, run fast. And adiyat, the plural of adiyat. Just to recap on your head, because of the feminine plural, you, from this ta marbuta, you open it up, alif and ta, adiyat. So the runner, zabha, zabh is the breath or the voice or the sound which comes out when somebody is running and breathing heavily. See? So these runners making this noise when they are running fast, extremely fast. Now those who have said camels, I mean, because camels don't usually make that noise and they don't such usually run that fast as the horses do, right? So they have said that rub also means raising the neck, raising and lowering. So when the camels run, they raise and lower the neck, running fast. That is the camels carrying the hujjaj, especially looking at the later ayahs, they have said carrying the hujjaj from Muzdalifah to Mina, because that is where the crowd is gathering, as we'll see later on. وَالْمُورِيَاتِ كَدْحَ فَالْمُورِيَاتِ كَدْحَ. Muriyat comes from aura, is to strike fire. Kad is to strike, and aura literally is to make fire. This is by striking or rubbing things together. Palmuriyati, and the ones producing fire by striking. And this, taking the horses, they say, is when the hooves of the horses come in contact with stones, those stones which sort of have whatever, property when they are struck, they give out splinters, sparks. And this is referring to this horse is running fast on these stones, so that sparks are flying sparks by striking the stones. Palmuriyati, those producing fire by striking. That is when they are running, the hooves are. And here also, for example, it is said that the camels usually do not have hooves, like horses are not fitted with this steel thing, whatever, horseshoe or whatever, they do not strike fire. So it is actually to do with horses rather than camels. But those who have said camels, they said that when they are running, the stones are scattered and the stones strike with each other, and the sparks are sort of generated by stones striking each other rather than the hooves of the horses on the stones. وَالْمُغِيرَاتِ subha. Mughira, as we know, guard is usually sort of say to the loot or the booty in the war. And agra is to sort of go for booty. And usually it is said that in the olden days, war was only for booty. You don't fight for something else, just to gain something. And then all wars have been then said agra is to sort of make war. Al-Mughirati, or those who sort of going into battle, or putting or going or starting an ambush. Subhan, as we all know, is in the morning. And usually it is said that when you want to ambush somebody, you ambush them in the morning. That is the weakest time, and they're feeling tired. Those who have been awake, keeping watch, everybody's tired. Early morning, that's when you strike the ambush. And also those who have said this is regarding this Salasil, Battle of Salasil, that is Imam Ali sort of struck early morning. The people were extremely, enemy was unaware, tired, even though they were expecting an attack. Having waited all night, tired, and at their weakest point, early in the morning. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ subha, and those attacking, making an ambush in the morning. فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقَعَ. أَثَرَ is to raise. When something settles, you disturb it, so it raises. أَثَرْنَا بِهِ, like dust or something. فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقَعَ. نَقَعَ is actually dust. And with them, or with this running, or with their sort of running, they disturb or scatter dust. For wasatna bihi jam'a. And the wasatna, put in the middle, bihi jam'a, put them in the middle of a gathering, jam'a, group. So these are the five ayahs which are all sort of custom, that is swearing, that we swear by the عَادِيَاتِ ذَبْحَ, the horse running, making this sound. And مُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ, and striking fire by sort of rubbing or striking on the stones, fal mughirati subha, and ambushing in the early morning, fa atharna bihi naqa, and we scattered dust with it, fa wasatna bihi jam'a, and put the people or the come and sort of settle or come in the middle of the group. So running. Now as you can see, this can be with some sort of stretching of some meanings be applied to Hajj exactly when the people start in the morning, because you are not allowed but in the morning to start in the morning from Muzdalifah and Subh. So these people are sort of all running in the camels to get into Mina. Now after this fire, then five ayahs, then we get the sort of real sort of reason for this surah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like all this surahs in the end, or the small surahs, is to do with sort of generally making men aware, I mean trying to make him think about what he is doing. Innal insana lirabbihi lakanud. Innal insana, nothing difficult. Inna and love, when they come together, innal insana love, that is for emphasis. Verily, as we would say, translated in English, verily mankind, innal insana lirabbihi lakanud. Insan is surely to his Lord, rabbihi kanud. Lakanud, lakanud. Kanud is kufr. And in fact, Tabatabai says that this is similar to the ayah where it's been sort of said that in lakafur also. There is an ayah in another part of the Quran, it says lakafur. Kufr, in its original meaning, is to be ungrateful. It's more an opposite of shukr than iman. To be ungrateful. And as we will see next week, inshallah, when we talk about shukr and sabr, and grateful in its original meaning is to sort of not sort of say thank you or thankful in the sense that just by word, but to make use of whatever you have been given for the purpose you have given. To make use of anything for what you have been given, that thing is shukr. That is using the thing for what it is made. Or what, some, if I give you something for something, you use it for that thing, then there is no need to tell me thank you. That is thanks in itself. That is gratefulness in itself. But misusing that thing is kuf, kanud. So, innal insana lirabbihi lakanud, that verily mankind to his Lord is very ungrateful. He is surely ungrateful for everything he has given him. He is ungrateful, not using it for what Allah has given it to us. What are these things? And to show that Ghazali wasn't sort of going over the top, it is this world. But the next ayah says, wa innahu ala dhalika la shayt. Again here, inna and la are there, you can see. This is for strong emphasis. Wa innahu ala dhalika la shayt. And he, on this, that is this kanud, this kufr, this ingratitude of his, la shaheed, he is a witness to it. Now how can he be a witness? I mean, he is a witness himself. Man is himself. Though others have said that who here, he is, refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is a witness to his ingratitude. But he doesn't sort of rise, come as Tabatabai points it out rightly, doesn't sort of fit with the text. I mean, it shows that he himself, that is man himself, is a witness to this ingratitude. Now there are some mufassirs that have said that does not mean that he, others have said that, which also Quran and other ayah does point it to, that he himself knows that he is being ungrateful. Within himself, Allah has given this sort of fitra or nature, that he knows that what things are, what life is for, the purpose and all these things. And when he is sort of contravening all these things, he knows that he is being ungrateful. Whereas others have said, no, this he is ungrateful, and this witnessing is his actions are a witness, clear witness that he is ungrateful. which sort of does sort of sigh or sound sort of a bit better, that all his actions are itself a witness. I mean, he is a witness by his actions, or his witness that he is ungrateful. And why this ungratefulness comes from what? وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And he really loves this khair. Khair is literally meaning good, but it in the Quran and many other places in religious literature also, khair has been used to denote wealth, possession, and everything that we have is khair. Because literally this is khair, it is good, something that, and even in English, I mean, we have goods, lots of goods, the car, the lorry was carrying goods, the ship was carrying goods, goods is commodities or material wealth of some sort. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ. He, for his love of this good, of wealth, material wealth, لَشَّدِيدٌ is very strong. Now, شَدِيدٌ has got two meanings here, I mean, you can see. شَدِيدٌ, one is that this, it specifies who, that he has got strong love for this khair, wealth, possession. And this is what is bringing out his ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason why he is being ungrateful. Because if you are extremely, if you have a lot of love for all material wealth, then you cannot be grateful. You fight for it. You do all, everything that you do, as we have explained many a time, is because of this hope, for your love of this thing. So, إِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Now, shadid could also mean bakhil, as has been pointed out. And he, because of his love for material wealth, is very stingy, very tight. He does not spend it. He loves it a lot. He wants to collect it for himself. Doesn't want to spend it. Doesn't like giving it to others. Doesn't like others getting it. He wants everything. And the next ayah, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُؤْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Doesn't he know? إِذَا, when بُؤْثِرَ is something is collected or is brought out, is made open. إِذَا بُؤْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ, brought forth. When what is in the kubur is plural of grave, kubur, graves. When what is in the grave is brought forth, that is when the dead is brought forth, is made to come out of the graves. وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. حَسَّلَ, حَسَّلَ is to collect. حُسِّلَ also sort of to separate or to, for example, if there is a fruit, or then you take the skin out or the kernel out, that is called حَسَّلَ. So to bring out that which is hidden also is hassala, that is which is hidden. So wa husila ma fi sudur, and whatever in the chests is brought out, is made public, or others have said is categorized or separated into different categories. When you, for example, have everything mixed up, you don't know what is in there, but if you separate things out, then you are sort of making it clear, bringing a thing out. Or when it is, whatever is within our chest, is sort of brought out and put into categories. The good in one side, the bad in the other side. And everything is made evident for everybody to see. And as we know, the Quran clearly says that that day is a day when everything will be very clear for us. Things which are hidden will not be hidden there. Somehow that world is a different world. Or in, as the Quran somewhere else says, that on that day the eyes will be extremely sharp. They will be able to see things which are hidden now. Sharp, going through things. And what is hidden now will be very apparent there. So, حُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, whatever is within our chest is hidden, will be open for everybody to see, for us and everybody. Very plain. إِنَّا رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَيْذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. And verily their Lord of them on that day is La Khabir, knows, he knows. Allah subhanahu knows everything about us every time, but on that day specifically, because on that day not only our Lord, but everybody else will also know. Everything will be out. Everything that is within our chest will be open. Our hatred, our love, our this, our whatever, small or big, everything will be open. Somehow we will be able to see it, and everybody else will be able to see it. But what is it that we have, or we have on? So that's why, not only in this time, many places, on that day even, it is shown that Allah, for example, on that day knows everything, or on that day will do this. But it is evident that Allah, even now, He knows what is aware of what we have and of us. But on that day, more so, because everybody else as well, including ourselves, would be aware of what we have within us. And that is the end of the surah. Now, what is the connection with the top five ayahs and the later ayahs? I mean, I found very difficult the explanations that Mufassirs have also given. Some have not tried, some have sort of tried to sort of say why Allah swears with these animals running, or if it is Hajj, why Hajj and Jihad. And somehow they have sort of come up, Jihad is something that you sort of ready to sacrifice yourself. All this, your hope, this hope which comes later, or of khair, you're ready to sacrifice it. And Hajj to some extent as well. The whole process of Hajj, the whole journey of Hajj sort of signifies your journey through life, where the end result of how you should be behaving is that when you start on Hajj, that is, you start with separation. I mean, as it is said, all love has, at the end of the day, there is separation for all love, except the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hajj, when you start for Hajj, you start with separation from your house, from your country, from your friends and all these things, and then all. So anyway, you can also think up of this sort of reasons. I mean, Mufassirs have come up. This separation from what you love. This khair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, when you go on Hajj, you are separating from it. Each day is going and shedding more of it as you go along the way. So it's saying that this life is also like, you shouldn't be caring for more than what you need. And this hope will khair, that the love of this world that we have to keep it under control and make use of it as much as necessary, rather than having more than what we need. I think I'll stop here. If there are any questions, please.